Hello, and welcome to the Superhero by Design podcast, a show where we interview real-life superheroes. My name is Ace, and I'll be your host. I can go on and on about today's guest and all the amazing things this man has done with his life, but I think it would be better coming directly from him. I will tease you, however, and let you know that this man has achieved complete freedom in his life, from becoming financially and geographically free to being in complete control of his time, purpose, and relationships. This man is the definition of a superhero by design. Let's give a superhero welcome to Maurice Philogene. Maurice, welcome to the show.
Ace, I'm very happy to be here, brother, and I am going to take you anywhere I go from now on so I can get intros like that.
Oh man, you are too kind, and I will be more than happy to give you intro after intro. So for you listeners, Maurice is a real estate investor, an entrepreneur, a restaurant owner, explorer of 100 countries, a public service, both a federal agent and a police officer, a philanthropist, and lifestyle design and wealth coach. Now say that five times fast. He is also the founding managing partner of Quattro Capital, which is an investment firm focused on residential multifamily real estate, which yields strong returns for their investors. You can find more information on Maurice and his coaching at his website, trylifeon.com. You can also follow him on Instagram at Maurice Philogene. Now, Maurice, there's so much to cover today, but I'm going to start out by asking you the same question I ask all my guests. You ready for it?
I'm ready for it. Hit me.
How you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing fantastic. Both you and I, and hopefully a lot of the listeners that are listening now, we all woke up today, brother. So today is a good day. We've already thrashed the 1 in 400 trillion chance of a lifetime to be alive. So we're doing okay. Everything's all right.
It's funny you mentioned that. One of the prayers that I say to myself every morning, and I usually say it as I'm walking into the gym, because I love the gym. Yeah. I love going to the gym, but it's not the easiest thing. I work hard in the gym and it does not feel good all the time. But when I walk into the gym, I say a little prayer as I'm walking in. I'm like, man, I'm able to walk into the gym. Yeah. My body is functioning. My mind is functioning. And I need to give this all that I've got. And usually just saying something like that, similar to what you were saying, just waking up and being grateful for that. That is such an amazing way to start out your day.
It is. And I don't know. I think I keep hearing this somewhere. Everyone's copying everyone nowadays, but I think it's good in this sense of the, I get to wake up. I don't have to wake up. I get to go to work. I don't have to go to work. I'm 47. I was at CrossFit this morning. I hit the gym this weekend with my 23-year-old son who's in town. Like, man, we have some real tough first world problems. You know what I mean? Life can be tough, but man, we got to be happy to be here. So I'm definitely happy to be here.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I'm happy you're here today too, because from doing research on you, like we were talking about before the show started, you have done some amazing things with your life. I'd like to rewind a little bit and start with the earlier days of your life. And when you were growing up, you talk a lot about freedom, personal freedom, financial freedom, time freedom, purpose freedom, all of that. Was that a mindset that you had growing up, or was there a time or a trigger that got you from where you were to where you ultimately got to?
Yeah. So what you're talking about is the five freedoms that I espouse to: time freedom, financial freedom, geographic freedom, so being mobile, ability to be mobile around the world, purpose freedom, being happy with what you're doing, and then relationships, because people move us from point A to B faster. Dude, it's not that I had all this stuff figured out when I was young, but I had this notion of freedom and I didn't really know how I was going to get it. But it's interesting, when you think about something in your brain, your body will start to consciously and unconsciously move towards it. There were two things that happened in my life that sent me on this crazy journey that I'm sure we're going to talk about. But the first thing was, I'm from a Haitian immigrant family. So I'm born in New York, raised in Boston, now DC through University of Virginia. My father sent me to live with an exchange student in France who lived with me the previous summer. So he came over in a formal program when I was 15, but I just went to his house to kick it the next summer. My dad was smart. He was like, yo, we're going to get you out of the inner city. We'll send you over. Now, think about this. 15-year-old inner city black kid. I know nothing but getting on a train and causing trouble and drinking 40s and shit like that. And I get over to France and it's like French girls, French wine, French castles, French funerals, French weed, French food, French Boy Scouts, driving around the country for 30 days in an old Range Rover. What that taught me was the world is bigger than Boston. And it really triggered something in me in that I wrote a journal. I have no idea why I did it. I had never written a journal in my life. Not me from the hood, whatever, because I had all these emotions that I was going through. So that was the first thing. I felt something about the world And then the second thing that happened to me when I was 21, I found the book Personal Finance for Dummies. It had this passage about passive income. You can divorce your need to physically be somewhere to make money. Then it, Ace, it clicked, brother. If I could create passive income, that means I could create time. If I could create time, then I could go create those emotions I had when I was 15 years old. So all of this started real estate, business, everything that I do was because I wanted freedom. Those two events happened to me. And then I just went down this journey of like, nah, man, I'm going to keep plugging away until I can figure out how to do what I want, when I want, how I want. And here I am.
Now, that's incredible. So as far as the journaling goes, because
yeah.
I know a lot of people journal. I have a nightly gratitude journal, which I've actually expanded. I've learned recently how journaling can also help you with trauma or life events, things that you're going through, a very therapeutic way to get through that. And it sounds like when you were journaling, you were writing about just your life and possibly certain struggles you were dealing with, it sounds like.
Dude, that journal, I still have it. I don't have the physical one, but I was smart enough to scan it at some point. I've lost the physical one, but I have the scan. I wrote shit in there like, why does God make people die? How come I grew up in Boston and no one told me that I could have feelings like this? How come my boys were clowning me for wanting to go to France, right? Just say, you know, because, you know, you're just trying to be a kid and trying to be like everybody else and stuff. And my definition of success to that point was what I was seeing on Yo MTV Raps, right? The cars, the beepers, the cell phones. Well, we didn't have cell phones back then. But jewelry, the baller crib. And then all of a sudden, my definition of success started to shift towards I can have these emotions about life and plug into the planet and learn cultures and speak languages. And the journaling absolutely helped me. But the funny thing is I never journaled after that trip. But it certainly helped me down this crazy path.
Yeah. One thing you talk about is geographical freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And you've served in the Air Force, I believe. Is that correct?
Yep.
And obviously going to France, experiencing all of that. Can you talk a little bit about how, like you had mentioned that traveling kind of opened your eyes up to there's a world outside of Boston. I think I read something the other day. I've read this before, yeah. But if you stay in the same place, you're only on one page of the book of life.
Yeah.
Or one chapter, whatever it is. So can you just talk a little bit about what traveling, whether it was through the Air Force, or through vacation, pleasure, or just exploration, how it's changed your life?
It is my life. It's not like I'm sitting here talking to you. I was talking to my boy, who's he's in Miami right now, and he's going to be in Paris tomorrow or Wednesday for a dinner. And I'm like, no, my boy, my girl. And I'm like, no, I'm going to fly out to Paris just to come to dinner with you. Travel. As adults, we forget to dream. We do. We do this 20 years of formal schooling, and then we get into the work world, and then we start to press repeat. And that's okay, but travel is a way to break up the system. Travel is a way to keep you in the beginner's mindset, to go places where you know absolutely nothing, where you have to start from scratch. I don't want to know everything. Like, I know everything about being an East Coast dude. I know New York, I know Boston, I know DC, I got that down pat. But I didn't know anything about Columbia until I went there 3 weeks ago. I want to learn. And what travel has done for me is put me in a state of constant learning, put me in a position to help people, because my purpose in life is for people to be incredibly bothered the day that I die, right? So I do philanthropy stuff overseas. I was doing the military stuff overseas. I flew up to the Arctic and I learned about the Suomi people, which know the Finnish Arctic. Nobody knows about the Suomi people. That is Finland's version of Native Americans who were persecuted in their own way. So when I found out about them reading a book, I went up to the Arctic to go have dinner with some people and just talk about it. And then I just kept going back. I was learning. It's always some kind of learning, right? That's right. What travel is. And the other thing I want to say about it is I've been to... Where am I at now? I'm at 98 countries over 350 times. people are like, yo, you go on vacation a lot. And I try to explain to people, it's not vacation. It has zero to do with vacation. It has everything to do with life. So the way that people take an Uber and they go to Walmart for the weekend, I take an Uber to the airport and I go fly to France for 2 days. I'm a travel hacker. I know how to do it on the cheap. People spend $300 at the bar in the city. I spend $300 to go overseas to go have dinner with a friend. That's just the way that I do things. So I don't want to be the smartest guy in the room. I don't want to ever stop learning. I don't want to ever stop being curious. Travel, along with business and all the business endeavors that I'm in, keeps me curious, man. And all those careers when I wanted to be a street cop and a federal agent and an actor, it wasn't because I was trying to do everything. It's because I want curiosity. I want to exercise my curiosity as a human. Travel is such a good way to do it, brother. And I'm still doing it. And it's been a godsend. I'm so happy my father did that for me when I was young, because it took me off the consumption rat race and took me on the learning rat race, if you will.
That's incredible. I love what you just said about traveling is a lifestyle.
Yeah.
For you.
Uh-huh.
I was asked the other day, I was in Utah to celebrate a friend's 40th birthday. I just turned 40 last week myself.
Yes, brother.
Yeah, thank you. And so I was traveling, but my diet and my exercise regimen is, I'm very strict about it. I'm very consistent with it, even when I travel.
Right.
And I have to, you know, I can't just hop into a gym no matter where I go, but I do some sort of exercise. So what I did is I got up early, Utah in the winter, it's freezing cold, below, you know, snow, snowing below freezing. And I get up early and I put on my clothes to go for a run. You know, if I can't go to the gym, I'll run, I'll do push-ups, sit-ups, whatever. As long as I get my body moving, I get a good sweat in, get my heart rate up, all of those things.
Yeah.
And somebody asked me before I went on the run out of the group, they're like, oh, are you training for an event? And I was like, well, no, there's no, I'm not training for a marathon or anything like that. And they're like, oh, okay. And I thought about it during my run and I was like, I'm not training for an event. However, I am training for the event that I call life.
Yeah, brother.
Every day we show up, like we said, we wake up, we're grateful for being able to breathe, being able to be functional, and then the training starts.
That's what's up.
And it doesn't end until my ticker stops. And so what I gathered out of that, like you had hit the nail on the head for traveling, for you, that's a lifestyle. People think of it as a vacation or an event. Well, life itself is the event. So whether you're traveling for life, whether you're working out, eating well, and once you change your perspective on that, then it doesn't mean I have to do this. I have to run. I have to eat healthy. I have to go on vacation 2 weeks a year. I get to wake up. I get to run. I get to travel. And once you change that kind of perspective, and it sounds like you've had that perspective, whether you realized it or not, for a really long time, mm-hmm. and it has served you well, because the results are just the results.
Mm-hmm.
But having that mindset, having that appreciation and that gratitude to be able to experience life. I just talked to somebody on the podcast a week ago who brought up a reference talking about people, a nurse who would talk to cancer patients before they were dying.
Okay.
They were on their deathbed. And the biggest regret that people had is they didn't have control of their life. They didn't do the things that they wanted to do. They were living their life for somebody else, not for themselves.
Yep.
And I just, so far, I just love, I don't think you're going to be one of those people. Let's just say that.
Nah, I hope not. I mean, I'm sure there'll be something, but I'm going to double down on what you said for your listeners and for a concept that I came up with over the last year that I think will be very, very beneficial to people. This whole notion of try life on, this branding that I've done and the trylifeon.com website, and it, you know, it's right now it's much more about coaching people in lifestyle design and developing business and investing in real estate. But there's something bigger than that. The bigger piece is what I've come to understand over time is that life is something to be practiced. You can practice life. I will give you an example. So one of my coaching students has never left the state of Maryland except to go back to Minneapolis for family. Well, she's never, but she wants to be by the beach and do this and do that. And I explained to her, sometimes I will get on a plane on a Wednesday night, go to Finland, and come right back on Sunday. She's like, how do you do that? I was like, I practiced it. Isn't it expensive? It was when I started. It's not now because I'm so damn good at it, right? So she is practicing getting on a plane, going on orbits, looking for the cheaper ticket, going down to this one particular area in Jacksonville, Florida, popping in because it's central to two beaches, restaurants are right there. Then she practiced potentially being a real estate investor by calling four brokers down there, meeting them and going to see homes and talking investment. She literally went to Jacksonville, Florida to practice how she wants her life to be. I have people doing that in Costa Rica. I have people doing that in New York City. It's just this thing. Like, we all like, oh man, that's going to be really hard. I don't want to do that. Well, go practice it. How do you get right over to, Mo, how do you get over to Germany and have a beer for a day and come back? I practiced it. How do you start a business? I failed like 30 of them and then a couple hit. Life is to be practiced. And I wanted to throw that out there because the second point you made about regret, I made a post which cut semi-viral, whatever, but I did the Gary Vee challenge when I went to a retirement home and I volunteered for 2 days. This is the same retirement home that I was when I was patrolling as a police officer. I would always respond to this place for different reasons or whatever. But I went in there and there were ex-CEOs and moms of seven kids and this and that. And none of them was talking about their money, their jobs, none of them. They was all talking about the things that they didn't do, the regret that they had, the girl they didn't ask out, the guy they didn't marry, the trip they never took because they were afraid to get on planes. And now they're physically unable to go do those things. And we've got this one thing called life. So when people see me doing what I do and they think it's extraordinary, I'm like, no, it's not extraordinary. You can make your extraordinary ordinary by practicing it or by finding someone else who's already done it and modeling them and gaining mastery from that. So I just wanted to bolster your 2 points about life itself and then the regret you'll have for not going after things.
Do you think the biggest thing preventing people from doing something like that is pretty much fear?
I think the biggest thing from keeping people from doing extraordinary things or turning extraordinary in their own life into ordinary is peers, coworkers, neighbors, and family. That's
gotcha.
What I believe.
So the people around
because
them, it's not even so much. Okay.
That's right. It's other people. It's their perceptions. It's accepting other people's notions and fears as your own. I got over that. So when I'm sitting here talking to you like, no, dude, I just got on a plane on Wednesday and I flew up to the Finnish Arctic and I came right back. Like, I'm saying it very straight faced. It's normal. There's nothing to it for me. But for someone else, they'll hear that and they will be like, well, it's too cold up there. That's way too expensive. Black people don't go there.
Mm-mm.
You just encapsulate what it is you want to do for your life and you surround yourself with people who are supportive to making extraordinary ordinary. But peers, coworkers, neighbors, even family, they will push all their fears onto you such that you don't become the greatest version of yourself. It's crazy. That's what I think it is.
It's crazy because, yeah, well, and these people love you. These people are doing what they feel is right and to love you and to protect you. But the interesting thing is it's kind of doing the opposite. It's preventing you from really, truly embracing what life has to offer and having a fulfilling life in a lot of ways.
Yeah, man. One of my greatest joys, honestly, and to the point of being emotional, one of my greatest joys is being a police officer. What I got to do in my local community is something that they never had to pay me. I would have just did it anyway. I loved it because you were impacting people in a way with a unique amount of authority that I could just be like, nah, come on. Or I shut down intersections for kids to walk across for school. Or I would be really good to shop owners and come through so they feel comfortable or whatever. My parents was like, you gonna leave corporate six-figure salary to go be a street cop for 60 grand? That's insane. You're not going to do that. It ended up that I ended up doing both at the same time. But had I listened to them in that particular case, and I know why my mom was saying that. My mom was like, come on, I got you through college and I want you to be a certain way and all that. But the person that it made me and the experiences that it gave me and the interaction with community and humanity, man, I am so rich because of that. And if I would have listened to people and not had that extraordinary experience 2008 to 2021 while I was an executive, so how many people would have said, you can't be a senior executive at a global consulting firm full time and then go be a street cop at night? That's impossible. Really? I did it. People got to choose the path they take and not be pulled back by other people's opinions.
So would you say that your mission in life is to be, and don't let me put words in your mouth, but what I'm gathering is that you are a leader server who essentially takes people and shows them how to truly live a life for themselves so that they don't end up with regret and they can ultimately end up experiencing everything that life has to offer.
That's powerful. I know that I am a servant at heart. I am. I feel happy when I am genuinely helping people. That is I mean, why would someone leave corporate to go be a, like, it's corporate to go be a street cop? Like, I just like helping people. I was helping people in the military when I was a federal agent. Then I came back to corporate life. I'm like, I'm just making money. This doesn't really feel good to me. Then I went on a ride along with a friend of mine who I did a warrant when I was a federal agent in the area, and he was a local street cop. I'm like, you're helping people. I'm like, I want to do that. I want to help people. But when I retired from being a federal agent, when I retired from being a street cop, there was a gap. There was this weird gap. And I was kind of depressed, to be honest. And then I kind of hit on something. The way that I help people now is with affordable housing through Quattro Capital, right? Then I can make large sums of equity, and I can use that equity to go do my philanthropy work overseas in Lebanon and Cyprus and Turkey, where I do it, going door to door, which I'd love to explain real quick after. But with this Try Life On movement, for 20 years, I figured all this stuff out relative to time, financial, geographic freedom, etc. I never talked about it, ever. When I was building up my real estate portfolio and working on the weekends and self-managing 35 single-family homes and tenants, termites, toilets, I never talked about it. I just kept doing it. And it put me in this weird state of entrepreneurial depression because all of my friends were going right and I kept seeming to go left. I felt very alone. But now that I found myself in a position of financial and time freedom and being able to do things like, yo, I'm going to dinner in Paris tomorrow, like, why am I not sharing all these tips and tactics? And I was turning my head because I had my principles on my wall. Things like try life on, ask better questions, how to create a salary, not make a salary. Change your language from if only to what if. Like, why am I not sharing all this shit with people? So I started sharing it. And then people are telling me it's changing their lives. Oh, I can help people doing this. So it's like, it's not a money thing. Like, money is just a tool. If you can find ways to genuinely help people, that is the best kind of selfish to be. Because I get so much power and vibe when people tell me, yo, you just helped me with the following. Or when a shop owner from like 2 years ago is still calling me, is like, yo, there's a criminal in my shop. Like, dude, I'm not a street cop anymore, but let me call this dude. I know he's going to come help you out, you know? Or a family from overseas that I paid for their cancer surgery or something calls. Or that's the spice, brother. It's like helping people, making money along the way. And then the day that I punch, you know, as long as everyone's bothered by it, then I know that I've done good stuff in the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you just reemphasized what your mission in life is. It's to serve people. It's to contribute. I don't think there's many people that have gone from corporate America the way you have to being essentially a street cop. And there is no better way of serving your community, in my opinion, than being a police officer, because I can only imagine what you went through having to deal with certain types of people, certain situations. And yeah. And the funny thing is, I bet this question never came up in your head while you were doing it, is why the hell am I doing this? I don't need to do this. I doubt there was ever any sort of self-talk like that, because when I'm doing the crazy stuff like hiking a mountain, pushing myself, putting myself in near-death experiences.
Yeah.
I never say, well, why am I doing this? I could just be on the couch right now. Like, those thoughts never go through my head because there's a higher purpose. There's something bigger than myself when you do things like this. So language like that, words like that never come up. And I'm assuming that's the same thing with you.
It's the same. There were days when I hadn't slept in 24 hours and I was out there. I mean, I would never be out there and put my shift mates in a position where I couldn't back them up. But there were days where I was definitely tired and stuff. No, I never felt that way. In fact, it wasn't until the George Floyd incident where policing changed. Okay. I mean, there's good likelihood I'd still be out in the street now. But when George Floyd happened and then COVID happened on top of George Floyd, I can't remember the order, but those two things happened. We weren't the proactive midnight shift that we used to be. Like, the environment changed so much that people didn't want police officers around, even good police officers, just because it was a stigma, that I found myself going to work at 8:30 at night, going to roll call, getting in my car and sitting in the back of the station for 8 hours and responding to calls from there. Where before I would proactively stop by businesses, proactively be out in neighborhoods, engage the community, but we couldn't do that anymore. So a year of sitting around and collecting a paycheck in a car, just like I was collecting the paycheck at the corporate firm. That's when I was like, I went up to my Sarge and he looked at me. He's like, oh shit. I said, Sarge, it's time for me to go. Because this is not what I signed up for. What I signed up for was like being out there doing things proactively to help people. Don't get me wrong. There was still burglary calls and robberies and all that stuff. I was still responding to calls, but it wasn't the same. Goodness that I really enjoyed about policing. So I left. So that might tell you something. It's like I was collecting a check. I can't collect a check like that, right? I need to be doing something meaningful to impact people. And I'm not saying it to be this pious guy or pie in the sky guy. No, it's not that. It's when you are genuinely helping people in a manner that befits who you are as a person, it's like everything just locks in. So you're saying that all the people that I dealt with out the street and all that, but I'll tell you something, white collar, blue collar, no collar. When I was in corporate, always white collar. Military, briefing four-star generals, diplomats, blah, blah, blah. Blue collar, I could sit with a person having a mental health crisis as a police officer and sit there and shoot the shit with them for an hour. No collar. Some homeless dude just walking. It didn't matter. But I was so equipped for all of it. That's where God wanted me to be. I was supposed to do that. Right? Because I could handle everybody and everything. And I wasn't there for money. So it's perfect. I think being a servant is a good thing, man. And the more I can plug in, like even with Try Life On, or I'll find some other stuff to do at some point, the more I feel alive. When I stop doing shit like that, when I start just executing for money, I'll fail. Like, I'll make mistakes, and I don't want to live like that at all.
Yeah. No, it sounds like definitely the what gives you life, what gives you energy, what gives you purpose is obviously contribution to people around you, to your community, to your family, to your friends, to your clients. But also, we hadn't talked about this much, but you had talked about it at the beginning, is personal growth. Getting to do the exercises, getting to study, getting to learn, staying humble and traveling and knowing I'm going to be in a place where I don't know what the heck's going on and I need to open my mind up to everything that I'm about to experience. Absolutely incredible. Go ahead.
You know, I want to give, because I think tips are good, I want to give someone a tool, okay? When you travel, or even in the U.S., like if you're here, it's cool. Don't order Uber. When you get there, get the business card of a taxi driver and call that person every time you need a ride. Build a relationship with that person because they know more about the city. So like, when I was in Colombia two weeks ago or whatever, I didn't get an Uber. The dude at the airport picked me up. I'm like, yo, give me your number. He gave me his WhatsApp number. And every time I needed to roll out somewhere, I would hit him up. No matter where he was in the city, he would come pick me up and I would pay him well. Then I'd be like, hey man,
where do you think I should go? He's like, no, don't go there. I'm going to take you to this little spot. You're going to meet these people. I'm going to introduce you to this guy, this guy. Travel is an opportunity to extend your world. You are not visiting their world. You're extending yours. And if you can build meaningful relationships with people by treating them well, they will open doors for you that you have never, ever thought possible. But what we do in our society today is we're very transactional. When I travel, I don't want to be transactional. I want to be relational. So there's probably 30 countries in this world right now that if I land, a friend will come pick me up. That's life. It's that. So I wanted to give people just kind of this one little tool because people want to connect, but they don't even know how to do it anymore because they're just using all these tools that we've figured out. It's easy and Uber this, and there's no relationship in any of that, in any of that. So, you know, I wanted to throw that one thing out there because I'm saying travel like it's easy. No, it's not easy. I practiced it. I'm really good at it. I'm really good at connecting with people quickly. So it enhances my life and their life too, because it's not for me. I have a principle on my wall. What's in it for them? So if I'm getting that taxi driver's phone number, the first thing I'm thinking about is what's in it for him or her. They're going to get paid really well by me. They are also going to see a different type of American, especially a black dude who's running around acting a certain way. They get a customer. They also get referrals. Like, it's just, what are we doing, right? Like, we're supposed to connect to this planet the right way. That's how I live my life, man. And that's how you can be a superhero. Focus on relationships with people and plugging into people the right way and doing for them, and they will do for you.
Now, preach on, man. I freaking love that. For those of you listening, Maurice is the founding managing partner of Quattro Capital, which is an investment firm focused on residential multifamily real estate, yielding strong returns for their investors. To find more information on Maurice personally and his coaching services, go to trylifeon.com. Also follow him on Instagram at Maurice Philogene. Now, you had mentioned superpowers, and this is a superhero show. I love superheroes. What would you say is your superhero name? If you have one, or if you don't have one, what would it be?
Hey, man.
I throw curveballs, man. I don't throw softballs on this show.
Yeah, that's a good curveball right there, bro. That's a good curveball. For lack of a better term, I'm just going to say the doer.
I love that.
I'm just that guy. I mean, and doer, man, that can be interpreted a lot of ways. But what I'm trying to say, man, like, we can think through something, create a quick strategy, just do and course correct along the way. I've never really had analysis paralysis. Mm-hmm. So how did you start real estate? I got a book. I just read it. The funny story about my first real estate deal when I was 26 is I just went to the library, got a book, followed it, and I took the book to the closing. I did what it said, and I just walked out. How did you become a real estate developer in Cyprus in the Mediterranean so quickly in 18 months? Because I was listening, and someone mentioned that the husband of someone I graduated university with was a real estate developer over there. I got him on a Zoom call. 3 weeks later, I was in his living room in Cyprus. I just do. You just do. Everyone is so worried about being perfect. Nah, man.
That's right.
Just do and course correct along the way. Are you going to be a street cop and da-da-da? You got to practice it. You just do it and you figure it out as you go. Stop worrying about all this perfection and Instagram nature of everything. And I got to be the biggest. No, just do. That's my superhero powers. I do and I course correct along the way.
That's right. So you're essentially game planning with people so that they can get out of whatever, you know, some people call it the rat race. Other people call it the W-2. But using real estate, lifestyle design hacks, and just the mindset of ready, fire, aim. And I know ready, fire, aim, a buddy of mine uses that all the time. And he's kind of course corrected. He does ready, aim, fire now because I think he's been fire. he's been burned a couple times, but there is a truth though to ready, fire, aim, like, because you don't have to have everything perfect. Like it's never going to be perfect before you do something, or you're going to be waiting on the sidelines for your perfect opportunity. And that's never going to happen.
That's it. But you do, or you should, I won't say you do, you should have a perfect day. You should have a North Star that you are following. So when I work with my coaching students, the first thing we do is I get them to dream again as adults. Write down your perfect day in vivid detail. Write it down. Where are you? What does it smell like? Do you hear the ocean? Are you in the mountains? Where's your family? Do you smell coffee that is brewing first thing in the morning? Are you in Barcelona? Is the wind coming off the Mediterranean Sea into the house? How does your business transact? Do you go to the coffee shop? Do you have three investors call you and then you're home for the day with your beautiful wife or your awesome husband? What is your perfect day? Because when I design lifestyle with people, when they ready, shoot, aim, we're doing that to get to the perfect day, or a framework by which people can have their perfect day. And what happened after 20 years of formal education, people just listened to the peers, neighbors, coworkers. Success is climbing this ladder, having this salary, da da da. No, success is what you are intended to be here in this earth. What do you want your day-to-day to feel like? Now let's build towards that. You have blockers to reaching that. So if one of the blockers is, I can't be geographically free. Why? Well, my job expects me in the office. Ask better questions, get a remote role, or leave. Go get a remote job, because there's millions of them now. You are choosing to execute someone else's version of perfect instead of fight for yours. That's the difference. People have got to learn that the goal of this whole life thing is to go live your version of perfection, not somebody else's. And that's the nature of the rat race. Everybody's executing somebody else's dream. Not me. My dream was being a street cop. My dream was being a federal agent. My dream was acting on HBO. My dream is going to this dinner in Paris on Wednesday and coming right back. People got a dream again. Get after it. So you don't have to be perfect, but you certainly have to have something to shoot for.
No, exactly. Exactly. And that's, you keep looking back and reading off your principles. I call it my code of conduct, my code of ethics. I believe it's so important for people to have a North Star, a guiding star. For me and my spiritual walk too, it's God, and everything that he puts out, in the Bible. But whether it's the universe or it's God, or it's just like, I have a Bushido code of ethics from the Japanese samurai, and there's just a set of code. So it's funny, because when I do something or I'm faced with a decision in life where my gut kind of feels a little weird, I've trained myself to listen to that gut and instead of just reacting, say, okay, well, why do I feel funny? Why does this feel strange? And then I literally just look at my code of ethics, my code of conduct, and I'm like, okay, does this decision or this path line up with all of these? And if it doesn't, I don't do it, no matter what my brain tells me, because I know in my heart of hearts, in my gut, they say it's the brain of the heart, that that when it doesn't align with my principles, it doesn't matter what it is. Because like you said, there's a million jobs out there. There's a million ways to make money in whatever you do. I'm in real estate as well. I'm a developer, house flipper, all that fun stuff. And there is a million and one ways to make money in real estate. I tell people all the time, we're only limited by our own creativity. And so I just love what you talked about with the North Star and having that guiding star with you. Because when you're following that, you are living the perfect life for yourself, no matter what.
That's it, for yourself. And unfortunately, it takes people. I think, brother, that is what the midlife crisis is all about. I think, because we get to a certain point in life where we start to realize, let's say you're 45 and you're working at the same firm and it's not your purpose. If it's your purpose, that's a totally different thing. But if it's not your purpose, you're getting up every day, you're going to this place and you're like, what the F am I doing here? Why am I here? That is your gut talking to you, or that's your heart talking to you, or that's your reticular activating system in your brain talking to you. Listen to it. Because we're not here to just exist. We're here to thrive. A lot of people are going around just existing.
Yeah.
I'm saying this stuff like I got it all figured out. No, I don't have it all figured out. But I have certain notions of it totally understood in what makes sense for me. My perfect version for me, I have a general understanding of it. It is as far away from the Matrix and rat race as you can possibly understand. I will give myself that credit in that I have mentally broken free from that nonsense.
That's incredible. Now,
yep.
I can tell right away. Now, having gone through what you've gone through in life and how you live your life, would you say that there are any particular people, whether they're superheroes on TV or superheroes in real life, who would you say are some of your superheroes that you've had within your life?
Firstly is my dad. Because where he grew up in Haiti, there was nothing. There was absolutely nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. And somehow this man found a way to educate himself. When I mean nothing, I mean no shoes, no heat, no running, no plumbing, okay, in northern Haiti. And somehow he found a way to educate himself and get here and start the generational shift of my family. Like, he took a shot. He didn't accept the status quo of what was going on in Haiti at the time for himself. That's the first person. From there, I got to tell you, Tim Ferriss has had a big impact on me. If you know Tim Ferriss with the 4-hour work week, it's not that he was never talking about having a 4-hour work week. People have it totally messed up. What he was talking about is collapsing your life, being more minimalistic, leveraging automation, finding ways to practice life, finding ways to be mobile, finding ways to engage the world. When I read, look, like I'm sitting here and I'm not playing. Tools of the Titans is on my desk, right? When I originally read the 4-Hour Workweek in 2010, I had the notion. So what he helped me do was organize the thoughts that I had in my head starting from age 15. So I found it in 2010. So what's that? 13 years ago. So I was 33. And it just clicked. I was like, no, I'm designing my life. I'm going to leverage this real estate to live well. I'm going to teach people how to do passive income. I'm going to be mobile. Mobility is not about travel. Mobility is about having the ability to take advantage of an opportunity, whether business or life, when it's available to you. So Tim has had a really, really big impact on me. Funny enough, I have to, you know who has really gotten to me? Shaquille O'Neal. And the reason I say that is because, yes, he's an amazing basketball talent. We all get that. But he had the very smart intuition to align himself to people who knew much more than him. Not from a money perspective, but from like a life perspective, business perspective, growth perspective. Just because you're a basketball player doesn't mean that you can't own a Five Guys restaurant. He was paying attention. So in my schema, I just always kind of paid attention. That's how I got involved in restaurant investing. That's how I owned a club. That's how I became an actor. That's how I became a police officer. It's why I got interested in being a federal agent, because I was aligning myself with people who were smarter and better and faster and bigger than me. And the way he created his empire, if you will, whatever that means, I want to do the exact same, not from a money perspective, but from a life experience perspective, your life book. What are you doing? How are you helping people? What did you build? What did you leave for your family? How did you become a generation breaker for your own family the way that my dad did for me? So those three people, my father, weirdly enough, this white skinny dude named Tim Ferriss has impacted me a lot. And then just paying attention to Shaquille O'Neal over the years. Lastly, I will tell you, and I'm going to tell for you people, please start exercising information diets. There's too much out there.
That's right.
So when I tell I latched on to Tim Ferriss' thought process and Shaquille's thought process, I'm not chasing anybody else's thought process. I'm just getting very good at what they taught me, and I'm staying there. Because we are chasing so many damn bouncing balls nowadays. It's like, nah. Just the way that I built up on real estate and you're doing the exact same, I try to stay in the same realm of thinking and just get really good at that niche. I'm staying right there. Hopefully people do the same.
I agree. we definitely live in a information overload time, and there's a lot of people in my space, in your space, that preach and preach and preach. And a lot of them, like you said, you had said this earlier in the podcast, a lot of people are saying the same thing, but whether or not they're saying the same thing isn't important. You got to latch on to somebody who has the same values as you, that inspires you, that, like you said, is doing what you want to do at a level that you want to do it. And you don't have to have 12 mentors. You only need one. Only one. You could have two or three in different realms, obviously. Like Tim Ferriss, you're probably not going to go to Tim Ferriss for parenting advice because I don't think he has kids yet. So,
Right.
And so, but I love how you said that because it's overwhelming. Mm-hmm. You go on Instagram and there's just a million people throwing out a million different things. And so I appreciate you saying that because that is so important. So for people that have been listening to this show that are connecting with you, how are they able to get a hold of you and your services?
Oh man. So the primary way, hold on, forget about services for a second. Just, I'm really active on LinkedIn and Instagram. LinkedIn, I talk about this type of, this conversation is the types of things that I post about, having three parallel careers for 25 years, how I did it, how I built up the real estate portfolio. I'm like literally giving it all away. I don't care. I just want people to figure something out for themselves. I'm not saying that my journey is the right journey for everybody, but I am saying my audacity is the right audacity for a lot of people. And they can connect with me on LinkedIn and they can connect with me on Instagram for more visual sense, if you will. It's just Maurice Philogene. Secondarily, business comes in second. Life is always first. But business-wise, if I can help you from a lifestyle design perspective, that's trylifeon.com. There is a TryLifeOn podcast that's coming, kind of in the same vein as Superhero by Design, which I'm going to try and work on a bit more. It's been tough with everything else I have going on. But trylifeon.com, you can catch me there. Then I do have a newsletter, and right now it's once every 2 weeks, but I will try to get it to once a week. And then real estate wise, it's Quattro Capital. So the website is www.thequattroway.com. We buy add value apartment complexes across the US. We partner with private investors, try and get folks' money to grow, better than average return, etc. That's thequattroway.com.
Perfect, man. So it sounds like you've retired from public service, you've retired from corporate America. What you had mentioned it, but I want to hear it from you. What are your plans for the next 5 to 10 years? Like, what do you see in your future that you're going to align yourself with the right people and just be consistent and hit it every day? What do you see coming up in your life?
Simplification. More of it. I was called out 2 days ago by someone who's very special to me. And I have noticed over the last 6 months, maybe 6 months to a year, that my life has started to get a bit complex with business things, with trylifeon.com. And I've put myself in a position that I'm okay financially. There will always be issues. It doesn't matter how much money you have. You will always have a problem financially, right? But I don't want to be complex. I want my life to be simple. I want to smell grass on Saturdays. I want to hear the waves hit the shore on a Wednesday. I'm grateful for the assets that I continue to get my hands on through Quattro Capital, but I am going to like continue to pay stuff off. Well, you could grow more if you leverage more. Yeah, but to what end? When does the end come? It never really does. I don't want to be the person that I talk to in that retirement home saying I missed out on living because I was busy doing this project, unless it's a purposeful project, right?
Right.
So I'm going to do much more simplification from a family perspective, from a work perspective. I want to do way more philanthropy stuff. The way that I had the awesome opportunity of going door to door a Christmas ago or two Christmas, I think it was a Christmas ago in Lebanon. And I was like, I asked my family friend to, he's a priest, to find me families that I can change their life in a moment for a decade. I can change their decade in a moment. I need that. So he would find me like someone needed a cancer surgery. There's a little boy named Christian who's like, he's like my overseas son now, but there's a little boy named Christian who's autistic, and my oldest is autistic. But imagine being autistic in a country that has zero services, zero.
Right.
So we, like, I got some donations, but we effectively paid for a one-on-one teacher for him for 2 years, paid for someone's cancer surgery, and like doing this on Christmas Day. Just like, here's $5,000. Here's $3,000. Here's some of it was mine, and some of it was money that I raised. You know what's funny? And I know we got a hard stop, but you know what's funny? What really got them was not the donation. What really got them was there was this random black dude from DC who was showing up on their doorstep in a Middle Eastern country on Christmas Day. That's what got them. Why is this man doing that? And selfishly, I'm like, I need y'all to stay friends with me. I need to know how your life goes. And I'm friends with a lot of them. So remember what I told you, relationships. So when I do go back there, how many dinners do you think are offered to me in people's homes? Man, get out there and help people. I want my life more about that. Simplifying my own life so I can be better for my family, and then building a little bit more business so I can be better for other people's families. And that's it for me, man. I'm not going to grow much more outside of that. Not interested in being the mogul. I'm interested in doing good shit.
I love it, man. I love it. Well, if we had to leave the listeners with one thing from this entire conversation, is there something that sticks out for you that you want to end on?
Yes. Please go try LifeLong. Please. It is something to be practiced. It's something to be had. This thing we do where we press repeat every day, where we live in just existing rather than thriving, it makes zero sense. You have 28,000 days in the average lifetime. 80 years is the average lifetime right now. I'm 47. I have 10,500 and change left. I have zero time for nonsense left. Zero. People are wasting time as if we have an infinite amount of it. We don't. We have 28,000 days if we're lucky. So please go out there, try life on, practice something you thought you could never do. It might be expensive. It might be hard. But if you practice it, it gets less expensive. It gets easier over time. We can do that too. We don't just have to do what everybody else is doing and let me just go to the office and eat Subway for lunch and take the Metro home. And some people like that, but a good majority of people are just existing in it. I don't want people living like that, man. So I encourage people to try life on as much as possible.
No, I hear you, man. And I agree 100%. For those of you who are listening, definitely check out Maurice's website, his coaching website, trylifeon.com. Also follow him on Instagram at Maurice Philogene, and then also LinkedIn as well under Maurice Philogene. Man, it was an absolute pleasure having you on today. I love everything you had to say. I will challenge you because I know you want to grow your coaching business. I'm starting a masterclass series, and I would love to get you on for maybe 20, 30 minutes just to talk about one thing you hit on: mobility, travel mobility, work mobility. I think that would be a huge help. And I would love to have you back on to do a segment like that.
Consider me booked. You are helping me achieve my mission of giving people awareness of the art of the possible for themselves. So that's a no-brainer to me. See how the universe works for you? I'm trying to reach people, brother. So if I can help you, I'd be honored to do it.
Awesome, man. Well, I would love to have you back on. And I know you have a ton of value to add to my listeners and enrich and empower their lives. And that's the whole reason I started this podcast. So I appreciate everybody tuning in. Once again, Superhero by Design podcast. Check us out on all the major podcast forms. Also, I've got a book, Superhero by Design, which talks about how I transformed my life in 100 days. So check that out on Amazon as well. Maurice, thank you once again for coming on. It was an absolute honor and pleasure to have you today.
My pleasure, man. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you, boss. All righty. For those listening, thank you once again for tuning in. My pleasure is all on this side, and we will talk again soon. So Everybody, have a great day. Thank you for spending your time with me. I know you could spend it with anybody. And like we said, we have only a short time on this planet. So I appreciate you listening. And I'm going to continue to give you everything I've got every time I come on. With that said, peace out.